Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, the host for these daily challenges. And these challenges are meant to help people learn what it means to follow Jesus in our busy commuting lifestyle. These challenges are split up differently every day. On Mondays, we look at a new idea. Tuesdays, we see where it comes from in the Bible. Wednesdays, we see how the Bible changes us. Thursdays, we try to put it into action before reflecting and praying about it on a Friday. Saturday's a day for rest, and Sunday's a day for Christian community. This is our weekly rhythm. We're hoping that a community of people on the move, on the go, will develop out of this. People living that daily, weekly rhythm and sharing it with others in their life, friends, family, neighbors, colleagues, maybe somebody from the train or bus during your commute. We hope that you'll join together in groups and that you'll meet regularly and let me know so I can help guide you through some of the more difficult challenges that we're going to undertake together. Do get in touch with me, because we're hoping that someday we'll gather all our groups together for a great big celebration of what we started as a community on the go together. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount right now, Jesus' most comprehensive teaching of what it means to be his follower. And we're looking this week at the question of public prayer and how Jesus took exception to people praying in public in order to get ahead and exert influence or power in society. Jesus says people who were trying to look religious by praying in public, they already have their reward. They've already got what's coming to them. And he has all this talk about rewards, and that's what we're going to look at today. Because we can wonder, you know, why are rewards even necessary for prayer? Why would Jesus have to mention that? Well, first of all, he mentions that he wants his followers to pray in their closet, which might sound strange because we immediately think of a closet as being, you know, where you keep your clothes. Clearly, he's saying something about he wants his followers to pray in private. He wants them to have the motivation for prayer where nobody else in the world needs to know. Only God needs to know. If prayer is truly about a relationship with him, then you should be able to pray in a closet of all places. But for Jesus's time, closet didn't really mean where your clothes go. It was more of a storeroom. It was kind of your vault. If you had great riches, you would store them in the Greek word is a tameon, a storeroom. And Jesus is saying that there are rewards and riches when we pray to God in private. They're already there. They're not something that comes later with time. They're right there. When we spend time intentionally alone with God, and it's all for him, not for anybody else's benefit, there are rewards and riches there already. It's all about that time spent with God. It's not an investment in something that might happen. We are rewarded today when we carry on that kind of relationship. Jesus also says that the words are not the most important part, that we have long words, that we have special words, that we have long and flowery prayers. In many ways, he's saying the wrong words with the right motive matter more to God than all the right words said for all the wrong reasons. Jesus is saying that if the point of prayer is a relationship with God, that's the reward in and of itself. That's the benefit. If we pray for other reasons, for other benefits, then we can have them. If we want to be applauded by other people, we want them to think we're religious and special, then you know what? He says, have it. If that's really what you want out of life, go for it. And then it's over. His rewards, though, his benefits, are eternal. They last forever. They start here and now. They're not just something in the future, but they last forever. I got a phone call once from somebody because I was teaching a Christianity 101 course. And this person, they didn't want to leave their name. They said they were calling because they believed somebody was taking my course simply to get baptized and then they thought that would help their immigration chances in Canada. This person really thought that I needed to make sure that person wasn't in the Christianity 101 course because of that. And you know what I said? I said, I'm happy for anyone to take the course because they're going to learn about Jesus. And God can do amazing things through that. It's not up to me to ask about people's motivations for learning and listening to the stories of Jesus and what that means. That's amazing. I'm so glad he's there. And if he really is there for all the wrong reasons, I think God can work with that. if all he really wants to get out of going to a course, getting baptized, is to somehow improve his chances in immigration, in some ways, he can go for that. But it's going to be a hollow reward, because I don't think immigration really cares if somebody gets baptized in Canada. If he was a baptized Christian from a place where Christians are persecuted and needed to come to Canada as a refugee, that's different. But in this case, for him to become a Christian in Canada isn't going to change the immigration authority's decision. So it would be a hollow reward. If that's all he wants out of a relationship with Jesus, he'll really end up with nothing. However, the real reward in a relationship with Jesus is the relationship with Jesus. It is the relationship with God. That's the reward in and of itself. We should never settle for second best. We should never settle for simple worldly benefits, no matter how important they may seem to us, or they may actually be. Because there's always something better that God is offering us in himself, in a relationship with him. And that's exactly what Jesus is saying can happen with prayer. We can seek worldly benefits to prayer, worldly influence and power. We can seek people's approval. But that's all hollow and temporary. And we could be having so much more if we prayed for God and God alone and didn't worry about other people knowing or not. Well, I have a question for you to consider before we try to apply this to our lives tomorrow. Have you ever tried to regularly spend time in prayer alone with God before? What did you find easy, comfortable, or difficult and uncomfortable about the experience? We'll have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.